Just turn to someone next to you and say, are you ready for God's word? For those of you who were here last week, I was talking about great exploits and doing great exploits for the Lord, and what He has called us to do in faith and in obedience. Can I just see, first of all, who the visitors, who the family members of these people tonight? Are there any family and friends here? Welcome. It's really wonderful to have you guys in the house as well. So thanks for coming. Let's give them a hand. Last week I talked about great exploits, and this week I just want to carry on, because I ended off with saying that, you know, great exploits come from a revelation of greatness and understanding greatness and who Jesus is in our lives. And I want to just define that greatness, because many times we wonder, but what is greatness? And I want to ask you a question this evening. What do you define as greatness? You know, how does the world define greatness? And then, do you think it's godly to desire greatness? I believe it is. Unless we have an understanding of what greatness is. You see, because the world out there, there's a lot of competition, and then greatness is, you know, getting to the top of the food chain and being the manager or the CEO or the director or the captain or the leader. That sort of greatness, or being seen on TV, or being, you know, being famous is sort of the world's definition of greatness. You know, many people are seen every day and are famous, and is that greatness? What about the people that are doing great things but have never been recognized by anyone? And so we come from a culture of what is really greatness, you know. And if we look at the Word, we see there's a very clear definition of greatness in the Word of God. So I want to ask you this evening, you know, how do you define greatness? How do you personally see it? And are you striving for greatness? Or are you just sort of not sure? Are you maybe sitting on the wire with us, sitting on the fence, thinking, okay, well, I don't want to be great, but I don't want to be small either. I just want to be neutral. What has the Lord called you to be? And I believe it is a godly desire to desire greatness, unless we understand the truth of what greatness is. And so, yeah, in Matthew chapter 18, from verse 1 to 5, I just want to read this little passage of Scripture, and I trust that the Lord will define to us tonight what is greatness in the kingdom of God. Because, yeah, the disciples had the same question, you see. It says that at that time the disciples came up and they asked Jesus, who then really is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And they had the same natural, they were also born like we are people, and started to become, started to compete with each other, and started to wonder, but who is great? And Mark's gospel actually says that Jesus wasn't with them. They were discussing this along the road when they were going from one place to the next. They were discussing this, but they kind of had this feeling that maybe what they were discussing wasn't quite, you know, that's why they did it secretly, sort of, according to Mark. They didn't really speak to Jesus first. They discussed it among themselves to see what their opinions were. And it seems like they were, I mean, you can imagine the disciples discussing this. Imagine Peter saying, but surely I must be the greatest. You know, I had this revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, and he asked me, and I said, I know. And, you know, so maybe I'm going to be the greatest. And John was saying, no, but Jesus, you know, I'm the beloved disciple. I'm the one that Jesus speaks to. He shares his secrets with. So maybe I'm the greatest. And James must have said, okay, but the three of us are so close to Jesus, so maybe I'm also part of that. Maybe I'm just a bit greater than you two. And the other disciples were thinking, but Andrew was saying, no, but I led you guys to Jesus. I was the first one to, you know, to meet Jesus, and maybe I'm the greatest. And they started to reason among themselves here in the fleshly terms, in thinking, but who is the first? Who's going to be first? Who's going to be second, third, fourth? You know, this whole competition thing. And so it's reality, yeah. And Jesus in Matthew specifically says the following, and Matthew obviously was also part of the disciples discussing this. And so he writes it very clearly. He simply says that the disciples afterwards just said to Jesus, but listen here, we're arguing about this. We don't know the answer. So please tell us, Jesus. Surely you have the answers. And he called a little child to himself and put him in the midst of them. And so, you know, Jesus is amazing. When we start to ask questions, you know, he doesn't like tell us, no, you're wrong now. Because obviously they were wrong. Okay, we'll see now why they're wrong. But Jesus simply, just in the wisdom that he had, he just simply said, come, little child, come here, and I want to show you. And this morning in our service, I had all the kids' church people stand up here, and it was so amazing to see all our children in church and how our children's church is growing. So I just made them stand in the front, and I said to the congregation, just have a look at these little children, because this is what Jesus did. Jesus said, a little child, I want to put this little child in the midst of them. And I want to say to some of you guys tonight, because my life was changed when I became a dad, okay? I've had the privilege of being a dad for 2.5 years now, and it's just so incredible to be part of a child's life. Even though I'm so close to him and I am his dad, you know, To have a child in our house and to have two children in our house at this stage is such a blessing. It's such a life-changing thing. And I want to encourage you guys. You know, when I was single, before I had children, I didn't really spend time around children. I wasn't so keen to, you know, be with children and all that. And I realized how much I missed out. And now being a father and having my own children is such a blessing. And it's so amazing. And I want to encourage you guys, if you want to get involved in Kids Church, but not everyone can be involved in Kids Church, but just get to a place where you can just at least see children on a, you know, even if it's once a month, just get to a child. Because that is what he said to these disciples. I need to put a child in the midst of you. I need you to be around a child to describe what it is like and what life is really about. And so some of us, children are like an irritation for us, you know. Children have dirty nappies and they stink and they do stupid things, and it's just, so we stay away from children. I believe it's not good, because we miss out on what God wants to teach us through little children. And so he said to the disciples, listen here, I want to show you something. I want to show you who really is the greatest, you see, because you're asking these questions and you're actually missing it a little bit. And so he says the following to them. He says, truly, I say to you, unless you repent. And in the Amplified it says, change or turn about. That's what repent means, to make a 180-degree turn. And become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving and forgiving. You can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all. So yeah, he says to the disciples, first of all, someone who wants to become great in the kingdom of heaven has to embrace change in your life. You've got to repent of your ways. You've got to realize that you're actually on the wrong path and you need to turn away from your sinful nature, first of all, but just your attitude of heart. Because you have become so competitive, you have become so focused on this world. And you know, the disciples believed that Jesus had come to bring an earthly kingdom. They thought, ooh, you know, Jesus is going to be this king or this emperor or this ruler, and we're going to maybe like be his right-hand men. We're going to like sort of sit in the cabinet and be cabinet ministers. And I don't know who's going to be the second in charge, but you know, Jesus is going to bring an earthly kingdom. So surely we must start to figure out where's our rank? You know, where's our position in the structure? And many times in life we think this. We're saying, where are we going to be in terms of the structure of the world? You know, are we going to be this great famous person, or how are we going to fit into this whole thing of life? And he says to the guys, you're missing it. You need to first of all change of heart. And it doesn't mean you've got to become a child again. He says you've got to become like little children. In other words, he's trying to tell us that it's an attitude of our hearts that has to change. Because as adults, we tend to grow up and we tend to become so serious about life. I mean, you know, ooh, it's a struggle, and we forget just what life is about in the kingdom. Yes, we've got to change the world and we've got so much responsibility as Christians. And ooh, it becomes a bit heavy at times. We've got to be honest. Okay? Are some of you feeling like that at times? You know, this Christian walk, we, you know, it talks about joy, but we just don't seem to have joy. You know, it talks about, you know, being free, like Tian said, you know, and we struggle to jump around because life becomes so heavy. Life is, oh, you know, it's a struggle. And I know I've got Jesus and I've got the Spirit, but what's wrong? And the other answer is this. He says, in your heart, you've got to become like a little child again. And we're going to look at that tonight. He says, those who embrace change, those who repent and become like little children will enter the kingdom. But unless you don't, you'll never enter the kingdom. And yeah, the disciples presumed that they were entering the kingdom. Isn't that what, I mean, they were starting to say, we're already in the kingdom. We must already become, you know, we're already great, so who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus said, listen here, you better watch out, because unless you become like a child, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Anyone here want to enter the kingdom of heaven? And it's talking here about, obviously, salvation. That's the first step, being saved and turning away from your sin. But it's also a place of remaining inside the kingdom. Because if we become spiritually proud and mature, we think we just sort of become mature and, oh, we're in control now, then we're missing the part of entering the kingdom. And he says, yeah, that there's two things. First of all, you need to enter the kingdom, but secondly, you need to grow in the kingdom. And that's what he's talking about, yeah, in verse 4. He says, whoever, so he carries on and he says, first of all, you need to change to enter the kingdom. And then he says, whoever will humble himself, therefore, and become like this little child, trusting, lowly, loving, and forgiving, is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So yeah, he's talking about growing. Becoming great in the kingdom, you need to grow. But you still need to become like a little child. You need to remain at that place. Trusting, lowly, loving and forgiving. Just four things that the Amplified mentions about the characteristics of a child. But we're going to look at this now. And I just want to, I heard a story once, you know, talking about children. I heard a story once of someone at church talking about her four-year-old Sunday school class.
She was a Sunday school teacher, and she was about to start her Sunday school class with 4-year-olds when a little boy showed up without any identification. So we're the kids' church volunteers here. Maybe you could have this experience with a kid coming and not understanding, or not, you know, it's a new kid, and she didn't know his name. So the Sunday school teacher managed to get his first name, but couldn't find out his last name. So she said, "Brian, what's your daddy's name?" She asked. "Daddy," he replied. And she tried again and said, "Brian, what's your mommy's name?" "Mommy," he answered. And suddenly she realized exactly how she could get the answer she needed. So she said, "Brian, what does your daddy call your mommy?" And his face suddenly lit up and he said, "Hey, babe." It reminds me a little bit of Matthew, you know, in the house sometimes then I call Hester Lovey and then I hear him saying, "Lovey, Lovey." So we have to tell her, no, she's my Lovey, she's your mommy, you know. And another story of a child, you know, children are so, they don't have any pretenses, okay? This is who children are. The one child went to the doctor's office with a fever, and the doctor looked into her eyes and said, "Who's in there? Donald Duck?" And she said, "No." And then he looked in her nose and says, "Who's in there? Mickey Mouse?" And then the girl said, no, he's not there. So he put his stethoscope on her heart. We're all the medical people here, so you guys that are going to work with kids. He put his stethoscope on her heart and he said, "Who's in there? Barney." And Amanda replied, "No, Jesus is in my heart. Barney's on my underwear." Have you guys seen those emails about how kids pray to God and say, "Dear God, you know, please take away this brother of mine because, you know, I don't like him," and everything? Children are, and it's not like to say we must become unwise, okay? We must become mature in our minds, but we must become like little children, you see. And so Jesus said, you need to humble yourself. You need to become like little children. I've got 9 things here that I just want to go through to show you what the characteristics of a child are. First of all, children are humble, okay? And that's the first thing that Jesus said. You must humble yourself and become like a little child. You know, have you ever seen a child being proud of their achievements or anything? I'm not saying proud now in a negative sense. I'm saying obviously they're pleased with what they've done. But children can't really be proud because they don't mean much to people. You know, like my little son, he can't really do much for society. He can't have this achievement and this major success. So it's difficult for him to become proud. He just lives. He remains humble. He remains dependent. He remains at a place where he can't really, you know, look after himself. He needs his mom and his dad. He needs a lot of leading in his life. So he doesn't really become proud at this stage. And for us, we sort of grow up and we start to achieve and have success in life. And what do? We immediately become proud and say, "Well, I've got a naughty badge. I've got something that I can rely on. I can stand on this. I've achieved success in life." And we tend to identify ourselves by our achievements and by our successes. And that leads to pride, and especially in the church. Spiritually, "Oh, I've got the Holy Spirit, and now we do things for God, we see miracles." And that is why God doesn't want to just pour out miracles in our midst, because guess what? We're not ready yet, because we're going to say, "Oh, it was me. I did this thing. I flowed in the gifts. I heard from God. I was obedient, and look at this miracle that happened." And you see, so we become proud, and Jesus says, don't do that. Become humble. Remain like a child. Remain humble. Secondly, children are innocent and pure. Yeah, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, there's an amazing scripture saying, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking." So yeah, Paul's saying, listen, yeah, it doesn't mean you must now become a child again and become childish. He says, become in your thinking, don't become like children, don't be children. But in matters of evil, he says, continue to be babes. Continue to be, and that's not talking about babes, you know, like the babes that we know with all the, you know, it's talking about babies, small children, okay, in matters of evil. So he says, but in your minds be mature, so don't get me wrong here, but become like babes in matters of evil. Become innocent and pure. And how much have we let the world, you know, tarnish our minds in terms of our purity and our innocence? We tend to let evil override us, and so we get so negative and bitter. And if you look at children, they're just so innocent. They aren't tarnished by the world. Yes, they're born in sin. They're not far from perfect. They need a hiding every now and again, okay? But, you know, they're just so innocent in terms of just their hearts. They haven't allowed the world to tarnish them. And especially when it comes to money and when it comes to sex and power and the pride thing, children don't have those issues, okay? Because they're children. And Jesus says, let's become like them in our hearts. Let's become innocent of evil and become pure again. And it's something that the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. Thirdly, children are free. On Friday, we went to Woolworths in Loch Logan to buy Matthew a new pair of shoes and some clothes for the winter because we realized he hasn't got many winter clothes and the winter's on its way, as we all were reminded of this last week. And so then, you know, but now he's been at a party, okay? Now, we didn't know he had lots of sugar in him, and to go to the mall with a kid who's like a bouncing bee is quite a challenge at times. So now we're going to Woolworths, but he's like happy-go-lucky, he's walking, and then suddenly he just starts to roll on the floor like this, you know, just like lie on his back and just roll on the floor, and there's all these people, yeah, and the people eating in the at the food place there, and like, I'm just thinking, this is not my son, you know, he's doing these weird things now, and then he starts to like shout and like, you know, sing and everything, and I'm thinking, he's obviously full of joy, yes, and he's very free, but he's also a lot of sugar as well, you know. So, but you know, kids are free, and like, it's just amazing to watch this kid just, you know, live himself out. And we like all worried about what are people thinking, and oh, you know, we're standing in the queue there, and then we had to like buy him some chips because obviously he just sees all the chips there when you stand in the queue and just wants to take. So we thought, let's just keep him quiet and buy him some chips here and so on. And then he's messing and he's keeping the trolley, the lady before us, you know, just sort of he's standing there. And, you know, it's like all you think, oh, all this attention that's attracted to yourself. But, you know, you just realize, and it's such an opportunity to connect with people. Why? Because this guy's free. This child is your connection with other people. We sort of standing there, you're not really keen to connect with the person next to you. But yeah, this child gives you the opportunity because everyone's looking at him and saying, you know, this guy's cool. Some people think children are cool, others don't. But whatever. They can see there's something. This child is just himself. And for us adults, we just become so bound by situations and so bound by our own issues and our own fear of man. And children are not bound by anything. Children are completely free. Fourthly, children forgive and they forget. You know, with Matthew, it's amazing. You know, when sometimes I sort of discipline him out of a bit of anger and I'm very frustrated, and he can pick that up, okay? He can know when I'm not really being true, and I have to repent and I say, God, I'm sorry. And then I say to him, Matthew, I'm sorry that I did this. But it's like he's so quick to forgive, and he's like thinking, you know, why are you even saying sorry? It's not like he's saying that to me, but I can see he's like forgetting about it. He doesn't even need me to say sorry to him, but I do it to teach him that, you know, sometimes you do say the wrong thing and you also must say sorry to other people. So I use the opportunity to teach him, but it's like he's forgotten about the fact that I've offended him and done something wrong to him. He's just carried on. Life, you know, life happens. He's not bound, and he's not, you know, frustrated by offenses. And so many of us, how do we struggle to forgive? How much do we struggle to forgive people and even to forget about the sin? You know, we forgive it and then we sort of just remember it. Especially in a marriage, you challenge, you forgive your spouse, and then when something else happens, you, ooh, last time, remember that thing that you did? You've done it again now, you know, and you sort of hold on to this offense with a person, or with your friends, or with anyone. You hold on to offenses. And the Lord says to us, let us not become like that. Let us forgive as Jesus forgave us. What did He forgive us of? Our sins, as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Eternity. He's forgotten about our sins. Doesn't hold it against us. And it's the same with children. Children have just got this purity and this innocence about them when it comes to evil. They forgive. And so it doesn't say that we must become naive of evil. There is evil around us. We must agree that the fact the world is evil. But we must not allow that to help to continue to, you know, that we've got bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts. God wants us to become like children, to forgive and then to forget again. Then children love sincerely. I mean, have you seen our kids love? They don't distinguish between, obviously now Matthew's getting to an age where he knows exactly now his mom and his dad are like the safe place, so he's getting shy a little bit at times of people. But you know, he's free. He doesn't judge people. He loves sincerely. Everyone is the same to him. You know, he doesn't see color. He doesn't see background. He doesn't see all these things. He can love just out of a pure heart. He can love sincerely. And how do we struggle many times? We've got to be honest. We struggle to love sincerely. Why? Because we put people in boxes. We say, oh, that person's now that type of person, so I must love them, you know, a little bit less than that person or more than that person. And we box people in. We cannot love sincerely. We struggle to do it. We struggle to love people unconditionally. But kids are just so amazing in that regard. They love sincerely, unconditionally. And then children have joy. You know, I don't need to go into that. You see, you know, if you looked at kids, they just, you know, yes, they go through challenging times at times, but they've got joy. They've got joy. And I had this experience, or we had this experience as a family, when Matthew was in hospital 2 years ago. He was 9 months old and he had this RS virus in his lungs and his ears were infected and everything. So he had to stay in the hospital for 5 days, and it was a challenge for us as a family. But you know, we took some photos. of Matthew when he was in hospital. And you know, I don't see many, you know, I don't see much depression there. I don't see much, you know, frustration with his situation. And it was obviously his little world had become very small. It was, he was bound to a little a cot that looked like a little jail. And I mean, but look at that. I mean, look at the joy in his face. You know, he just, he did weird things. If you look at the next slide, he used to start to do this head tilt like that. So we would take the camera and then he would like, almost like say, what are you saying to me now? You know, what's this? You know, with those big eyes. I mean, and it's just, and that last picture there is, I don't know who's happier, him or his mommy, that he was leaving hospital, because then you could see the drip was off and everything. And that's not a, it's not like his arm was broken there. It was just a thing to make sure he doesn't pull the drip out. It looks like almost he's broken his arm. But, you know, it was a challenging time for us. But what was so amazing for me is I could see the joy in his life. I could see that this thing didn't get him down. He was still going to be a child. He was still going to live life. He was still going to play with whatever he could play with. And obviously he wasn't walking or crawling at that stage, but you know, life was still going to happen for him. He wasn't going to let his circumstances and his enclosed situation, which looked like probably like death to us, we think, you know, hospital, it's like not a nice place. But for him, whether he's at home or there, life is the same. He's a child and he's just going to be a child and live out like a child. Children have joy. I believe sometimes we as adults have become so, you know, ooh, life is such a responsibility and it's such a, yes, and we've got a purpose to pursue. And I'm not saying you must just, you know, forget about your work tomorrow and just go and live like a child. But, you know, in our attitudes, in our hearts, we must become like a child. Okay, so go to class tomorrow. Okay, go to work tomorrow. Be on time. Be early, in fact. Be excellent at what is good, but innocent of evil. Okay, that's what Romans 16:19 says. Be excellent at what you've been called to do. But in your heart, in your attitude, let us become like children again. Let us have joy. Why? Because our joy is stolen many times by circumstances or by people. And we allow it. You see, we have the choice. Whether we allow it or whether we don't. Children don't allow things to steal their joy, whatever circumstances they're going through. Then children trust easily. I mean, you know, with Matthew, when he started to become really a bouncing bee, then he wants to now jump off the bed. And I knew this was quite a good opportunity to let him to sort of trust me now. And so I could test how he trusted me. So I would, he would stand on the bed and then I would sort of see how far away I can stand for him to like jump, you know, into my arms. And I would test how much he trusts me. And then he says, no, Daddy, just a little bit closer, you know. So I would step a little bit closer. So if he's, the bed's there and it's quite a high bed, then I would let him jump into my arms, you know. And it was so amazing to see, like, I would start every sort of day, I would try, you know, to go a bit further back. And it was amazing. I pushed the boundaries a little bit. But he could trust me. He could just say, I want to jump now. I there's a floor there and it's quite high, but I just want to enjoy the joy of jumping. So, Daddy, I trust that you're going to catch me. And he just jumps. He's not like wondering, oh, is he going to catch me? He just says, Daddy, stand there and stand still, and then I want to jump. And, you know, I could have sort of played a trick on him and dropped him, but obviously I'm not going to do that. I catch him. Why? Because he trusts me. And that is the same with God, okay? When it comes to people, we don't trust people easily because trust is earned, okay? But when it comes to God, we can trust the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We can trust Him. He will catch us. And when we want to play and we step out and do stupid things, God will still catch us. Okay? God is not going to let us fall. And we can trust Him. But guess what? Some of us don't take that jump. Some of us don't take that step. Jumping off the bed knowing God is going to catch us. Because why? We don't fully trust Him. Let's trust the Lord. Let's become like children and trust easily. You see, children don't have this problem. That's why Jesus said, become like little children. Then, number 8, children desire to learn and grow. 1 Peter 2:1 says the following, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes. So he says, first of all, you've got to lay aside a lot of things here, because this is what's keeping you back from being like a newborn babe. And he says, lay aside all of this stuff and become a newborn babe, and guess what? Desire the pure milk of the word. He says, don't allow all this stuff to determine your life. Don't allow evil and malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all this stuff determine your desire for the pure milk of the word. But become like a babe again. Become like a small child. Desire the pure milk of the word. How or why? That you may grow thereby. Because we all need to grow, you see. But many times we come to this place where we've arrived spiritually and we know enough and, ach, it's cool, you know, we'll just carry on. And we forget about the word. We forget about becoming teachable. And I'm just so blessed by the guys doing Bible school. And speak to someone who's doing Bible school this year. Speak to their How they just ask them how they've grown in just these first few sessions. Why, it's not because the teachers are great or you know the Shofar Bible School is so cool. It's simply the Word of God, the pure, undefiled Word of God. I said to the guys doing Bible school, I said, you know, it doesn't matter about the detail of what of the teaching. And it, obviously that is important. You must learn and you must grow in that specifically. But I believe there's such a blessing when you sit under the preaching of the Word of God. And that's why you guys are here tonight. You're going to be blessed from tonight's sermon. Why? Not because I'm great, but because the Word is undefiled. And what I say is just in part. I know only in part and I reveal stuff in part. But the Word of God still is perfect. The Word of God will change your life. But you need to desire the pure milk of the Word. And if you look at a little child, they don't struggle to eat or drink when they're small. Okay, some children maybe have, you know, a few eating challenges. But I mean, my experience of children, our two children are just, Caitlin especially now, she cannot get enough of food. Okay, but okay, on the other hand, she is a bit of a poo factory as well. Okay, so it's a challenge. She eats so much and so a lot of dirty nappies. Okay, but that's part of the package of having children. Okay, I said to my discipleship group the other day, I said to the guys, you know, sometimes we've just got to do something. It's like when you got a dirty, you smell, oh, there's a dirty nappy now, then you can now have 100 complaints and why you mustn't, oh, can I just leave this nappy? Or, but you know, when you've got a child that's got a dirty nappy, man, you just, you know, do it. It stinks and you want to put a clothes peg on your nose and you want to do whatever, but just do it. Change that nappy, you know. Just do it. Okay, don't complain about the stuff and think, how am I going to get around this? Or no. If you have to change a nappy, you must just do it. That was just something extra. Okay, it's got nothing to do with my sermon, but we are talking about nappies and children and all these things. Okay, but children desire to grow. Children don't have a problem with growing and with learning. You see, and if we desire to grow by the Word, guess what? We're going to learn a lot. We're going to learn a lot of things about life if we desire the pure milk of the Word. And it says here, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So he's saying, listen here, if you know anything about the goodness of God like we experienced tonight in worship, then you will so desire to spend time with Him and you'll so desire to learn from His Word. It's nothing better than the Word of God to feed us. And then lastly, children inherit the kingdom. Jesus said the following, let the children come to me. And this is now after chapter 18 where He's just told the disciples, you better become like a little child. And then again the disciples said, Jesus, just get away. These children must get away from you. We need to talk adult stuff here. And He says, listen here, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. You see, children, and when we become like little children in our hearts, guess what? We're going to inherit the kingdom of God. God will start to do great things through your life and through my life if we become like little children. Children inherit the kingdom. So my first point, to sum up tonight, my first point is, who is the greatest? Those, first of all, who embrace change. So you and me have got to embrace change in our lives. We've got to repent of our hardened hearts. We've got to repent of our maturity, of sometimes becoming too serious about life. We need to become like little children again, embracing change. Secondly, we need to become childlike. We need to embrace the characteristics of a child. And then number three, and whoever, and this is now the end of Matthew 18, verse 1 to 5. Verse 5 says, and whoever receives and accepts and welcomes one little child like this for my sake and in my name, receives and accepts and welcomes me. Whoever receives and accepts and welcomes one little child like this in my name, receives me. That's what Jesus said. And that's why he's saying here, it's two things here. He says, first of all, you must become like a little child, but then you must also welcome other people. Welcome other little children. Recognize the other little children in your life and welcome them and accept them. And then he actually says the third thing. He means the third thing as well. He says, listen here, when you go out like a little child, and that's how this week when we do Impact Week and we go give free hugs, it's such a blessing, you know. And some people think, oh, this is now so weird, these free hugs. Are people going to think, what is our agenda? This free coffee? Well, you know, let's just bless people without thinking too much about it, okay? Let's just go and bless and love people like Jacobus said. Let us reach out in love. And let us share our testimonies. And if we do that, guess what? Whoever doesn't receive it, you know what? Jesus is going to deal with them. We don't have to deal with them. We just love them. Jesus said after this in verse 6, he actually said, if you don't receive my little children, you know what? You're gonna better be, you know, it's better that you drown. That a millstone is hung around your neck and you drown this terrible death. Jesus is quite serious if people don't accept little children. And he's not yet only talking about children like little children. He's saying, those of my little children, those who have become humble and become loving and trusting and have embraced these characteristics, those adults who have grown up but have become like little children again, reaching out, touching people. If people don't accept them, then I'm going to deal with them. So that in terms of evangelism, that sets us free a bit, don't you think? Because we can just become like little children, reach out, and obviously our attitudes must be tested. If we have got an agenda and we are, you know, not really loving on people, then, you know, they'll pick that up and God will also judge us for that. But let us just go out and reach out in love and just as little, simple little children, just sharing the love of God. And if you have to hand out a hug, do it without pretense. Do it with, like little kids run up to you and hug you. In the spirit, God wants us to become little children again and not to think too much about things. And I'm not saying wisdom must go out the door now. The Bible is full of wisdom. But I want to focus on our hearts here this evening. I want to focus on us becoming and reflecting Jesus Christ like little children. Because He is going to make sure that whoever accepts us, his life is going to be changed. Isn't that amazing? If you come to someone like a little child and they do accept you, you know what? Their lives are going to be changed. They're going to receive me. They're going to accept me and welcome me into their lives. And so this is the reason, I believe, why we struggle to reach out to the world. Because we're too calculated. We're too in control. And we don't let the Lord just love through us. And we sort of work out and, oh, how must I not do this? And we must just be free and love people again. Love people like children love people. Then they will accept Jesus Christ. So for this week especially, our homework is now, let us go and apply this word. Let us go and be little children on campus this week. And in your workplace, in your classroom, wherever you are, just be a little child in your heart and say, God, use me just to have joy. Use me to smile again. Use me to be sincere, to just love people like you love people. Jesus didn't have issues with people. He understood who the people were who had hardened hearts, and we pray for those people. We know the people that are resistant, but we still remain like children. In Romans 8:16, our last scripture this evening. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Let's say that together. We are children of God. We are children of God. The Spirit bears witness that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Isn't this amazing? You see, children of God, the Spirit bears witness. The Spirit tells us that we are children of God. If we suffer with Him. So it's going to take a little bit of suffering. It's going to take a bit of dying to self to lay aside the mind that has maybe become defiled by these things. Let us not remain at this place of being so in control that we forget about being children again. Because the Spirit wants to tell us you are a child of God. And that's why this is so significant for me, I believe, is that when we realize that we become like children, you know what we realize? We realize again that we are actually children forever. We always will remain children of the Most High. Because guess what? We are always children. We're going to never come to this place where we're not a child of God. We're always a child of God. And that this talks about faith. This talks about obedience when we learn obedience by the things which we suffer, okay? But we'll remain at this place of being children of God. The Spirit says that we are. And then when we suffer with Him, when we truly become changed and then go through this life like children, and it's going to take suffering to be like a little child. Okay, it's going to take a die to self, as I said. But if we go through with this, guess what? We'll be glorified together, not only in the life to come, but even now, God is going to glorify us and shine Jesus through us, that people won't see us. They'll just see the glory of Jesus upon our lives. That is the greatest privilege, to be like a child in the kingdom of God, to become children of God and to reflect these glories, that we may be glorified together with Jesus Christ, our Savior. So I want us to all stand this evening as the band comes forward. Because I really believe the Lord wants to do something in our hearts this evening. He wants us to become like little children again. Father, we thank You this evening as we just respond to Your word right now in the Spirit. Lord, I thank You that You want to call us to this place where we can reach the world like little children, God. We can, Lord, even attract attention because we are just so different from the other adults in the world that have become so defiled, Lord, and so serious, Lord, and so, Lord, so too focused in a way, Lord. We forget, Lord, that in our hearts You want us to become like little children again. Not allowing the the evil of this world to define who we are, Lord. Not allowing circumstances to define who we are. And Lord, we want to lay aside all competition, Lord, even with other Christians, God, and trying to be great and to do things, great things for you, Lord. We want to just, Lord, just come and simply say, yeah, we are, Lord. Change our hearts, God. Change our hearts. See, in conclusion, I just want to say again that greatness requires three things: embracing change, becoming like children, and reflecting Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you, in what area do you need to humble yourself tonight? In what area do you need to humble yourself tonight? Only Jesus can make the change in you. That is the good news tonight. Is we cannot change ourselves. We've got to be honest with that. This is the first step of becoming like a child. Realizing that we cannot change ourselves. God says all we need to do is just humble ourselves. Humble ourselves like a little, become like a little child. Humble yourself, and guess what? He will do the rest. He will make sure we have joy. He will make sure we remain innocent and pure and clean and undefiled from the world. He will set us free. He will help us to forgive and to forget. He will help us to love sincerely and to have joy, to trust Him easily, and to even start to trust people again. He will help us to desire to grow. He will cause that desire in us to happen. He will cause us to inherit the kingdom. We cannot inherit the kingdom. Only Jesus brings us to the kingdom. But He says clearly in His word, one thing you need to do, just to humble yourself. And you see, I believe this sets us so free, because I've been realizing that this thing about becoming like a child is all we need to do. When it comes to greatness, you cannot strive for greatness. And I want to tell you tonight, even though you were inspired last week by great exploits, I want to just make it clear that, you see, if we strive after great exploits, then we're going to miss it. We've missed it. God wants to do great exploits through us. But how did Abraham do it? He was simply obedient and simply had faith like a child. God told him to kill his son and to do all sorts of weird things and to get out of his country and to leave his family. And he didn't understand all this. But you know what? He just obeyed and he just became like a little child. Humbled himself and said, God, your way. And so I believe we don't need to strive after greatness. But God is going to do great things through us. And He's going to cause you to be great in His kingdom. He says everyone can be great. There's not going to be a greatest, one greatest person. He says whoever becomes like a child will become greatest. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't say you're going to be great and the other guy greater and greater and greater and then maybe at the top someone will be the greatest. He says everyone's going to become the greatest. But you need to humble yourself. So this is so freeing for us who are very performance driven. We want to do things for the kingdom, and that is good. That's a gift. God has given you that. You need to seek His face and do what He's called you to do. But more than that, you need to say, Lord, I want to become like a child. Start to trust You for great things. Start to trust You to change my life first of all, and then out of that will flow amazing exploits. Your kingdom will come through my life. But I believe tonight, some people, you just need to repent again and turn away from trying to figure out this life, trying to live this Christian life out of a place of your adult mind in a way. God says, just in your life, become a child again, in your heart. Without putting out wisdom and without, you know, leaving all the other biblical things undone. This is just part of the word tonight. But I believe it's a very specific part that we have neglected in our lives. And so I believe if you respond to this word tonight, if I respond to this word, we will be changed. God will use us mightily. But if we remain at this place where we're not children, we're not going to enter into the kingdom, we're not going to be great in the kingdom, we're not going to have a life. God wants us to have life tonight. And so while all our eyes are closed this evening, I believe, first of all, even before we talk about repenting of our hardened hearts and repenting of us not entering the kingdom, I believe, or growing in the kingdom, I believe some of us need to enter the kingdom for the first time tonight even. You're not sure that you're a child of God in the first place because you don't hear His voice. You can't respond to Him because you don't know the lover of your soul, Jesus. And so this is the first step of becoming like a child. It's for the first time when you realize, God, I never humbled myself before You, that You can take away my sin, that You can take away my shame and cause me to have a free relationship with You. Because I believe some people here tonight, you need to just come back to Jesus. You know about Jesus and you've got this sort of half a connection with Him, but it's not like you're living in the fullness of Christ. And He just wants you to come back to Him tonight. And so become like a child tonight and come to Him and say, Jesus, here's my life. Change my life. So if that's you this evening, if you need to come back to Jesus, or maybe for the first time, you need to respond to the call of God on your life and allow Him to change you from the inside, make you a new person. You feel like this Christian life is like something that you've got to do, and the Lord says, if you're feeling like that, you don't know me. It's a lifestyle. It's who you are. I want to change you from the inside. I believe there's one or two people here. You're doing a lot of things, but you just don't have freedom in terms of your relationship with Christ. You struggle to hear His voice, and the Lord wants you just to respond to Him this evening. So is there anyone, whether it's for the first time or just coming back to Jesus again, just raise your hand and say, Alistair, I want you to pray with me because I need Jesus to just change my life radically. I don't want to have an experience with Him. I want to have Him change my life forever. Then just raise your hand. If that's you this evening, just be honest with where you are. Just come back to Jesus again if you've got to come back to Him. But if you, for the first time, want to give your life to the Lord, this is your night tonight. But just give your life over to Him. Are there any other hands going up? Is there anyone else? You want to give your life to the Lord? Either a recommitment or for the first time tonight. Just raise your hand and say, Jesus, I want you to change me. I want you to make me like a child. Is there anyone else? I want you to be very bold, those who raised their hands, just to come forward. Because the Lord is going to do a new thing in your life tonight. If you haven't raised your hand, you know you need to come forward. Just come forward to respond to what Jesus is doing in your life tonight. Just anyone else? Let's just give her a hand as she comes forward. Can I have a facilitator just to come with, just to pray with her? Let's just respond to the Lord. Anyone else? You can join her in the front here. It's the biggest decision of her life. Let's just all pray together with her. What's your name? Nadia. Let's just all pray together with Nadia. Lord Jesus, and you prayed sincerely, Nadia. Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight as a sinner in need of a Savior. And I need you tonight, Jesus, to change my life. I give you my life. I give you my past, my present, and my future. And I thank you that you make all things new. I repent, Lord, but I believe that you've forgiven all my sins. And I give you my life. Thank you, Lord, that you have saved me. And I confess tonight that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe that God raised Him from the dead. And therefore I'm saved. Thank you tonight for my gifts and my talents. And I ask you to use me, Lord, to your glory. In Jesus' name. Lord, I want to thank you for Nadia's commitment to you. Here, ek dank you dat u alles net maak. Here, dank you dat hierdie nie net a commitment is om nog vir 'n jaar of so aan te gaan, Here. Hierdie is 'n ewige commitment, Here. En ek dank U dat haar lewe nooit weer dieselfde gaan wees nie. Ek spreek dit oor haar vanaand. Ek spreek nuwe lewe in elke area van haar lewe waar daar baie goeders is wat net nie sin maak in haar lewe nie, maar ek dank U dat U vanaand gaan wys wat is die koneksie en wat U wil doen in die volgende ruk in haar lewe. Dankie dat sy haar lewe gaan neerlê vir U. In elke area. En ek bid vir vryheid, Here. Ek spreek vryheid in haar lewe vanaand in die naam van Jesus. Ek dank U nou, Here, vir U dogter wat teruggekom het na U toe. Thank you, Lord, for a childlike faith that's going to be stirred up in her. I just believe, Nadia, the Lord saying He's going to stir up in you an incredible faith. But it's just going to be born from a place of knowing Him and knowing the power in your life. It's all Jesus and all glory to Him. Iemand gaan saam met jou bid nou gou. Kom ons gee vir hande klap. You guys can just go to the back and pray. Jesus will never leave her, never forsake her. And that's why she came back to Him tonight. She didn't come to Him for the first time. I know she's come back to Jesus tonight. But I believe that people, you need to respond specifically about this thing of becoming childlike again. You're a Christian and you're serving God. But I believe you, God wants to just set you free again tonight of specific things. And whether it's your lack of trust for God, or whether it's a hardened heart towards people and unforgiveness and bitterness, whatever it is, you know in your heart tonight there's something that you need to just say, Lord, I want to become like a child in this area. And you don't have to look at your whole life again. You don't have to say, oh Lord, there's all sorts of things. Now just look at the one thing that God wants to change in your life. That's the first step. There's just one thing that He wants to speak to you about. So just close your eyes and say, Lord, show me that thing which I need to respond now and become like a child again. I've become so focused and so serious about life, but this thing, Lord, I just want to let go of it now. And whether it's to love again, you know, not to judge people, not to look at people from a box point of view and say, this person is in this box and that person is in that box, so I've got to love like this. Just love sincerely like a child again. Just forgive. And maybe there's people who aren't free tonight. You just feel so, you're so worried about what people think. And you know, children can run around, they can do weird things on the floor in the mall, and they can make the whole of Woolworths look at them, but you know, they're not fazed by that. Sometimes we need to just become weird again because God wants to glorify Himself through us. So you need to be set free of the fear of man specifically. You're very worried about what people think. When you get dressed and when you do your hair and you look at yourself and you're so worried about, what do people think of me? Am I going to be accepted in society? The Lord wants to set you free of that thing tonight. Whatever it is. Maybe it's a desire for the Word again. Just become like a child, desiring the pure milk of the Word. Whatever those 9 points, I just want Mariska to put those 9 points on again. Whatever it is. Look at what a child is like. Humble, innocent and pure, free, forgiving and forgetting, loving sincerely, having joy, trusting easily, desiring to learn and grow, inheriting the kingdom. If there's any area that you need to become like a child again, I want you to just come forward. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I believe God wants to meet you where you're at this evening. He's going to change your life. As I said, the Holy Spirit will confirm in you that you are a child in this thing. But you need to humble yourself and come before the Lord this evening. So we're going to sing a song now. And then I want you to respond and just say, God, do this in my life. Do this. But I want you to be bold by doing it. Humbling yourself means you need to step out. You need to make a change. It's an awesome opportunity tonight to make that change. Amen. So just respond to the Lord tonight.